We're going to be in Colossians again this week. We're going to be looking at chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. So if you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to pull up the sermon. We're going to be talking about following the substance and not the shadow. Do you ever think about what a shadow is? I was always fascinated by shadows whenever I was a kid, you know. Depending on the time of day, sometimes my shadow was a lot taller than me like I wanted to be. You know, that shadow could be really tall, and I'd look at it down there and I'd think, man, I wish I was that tall. You know, because kids they're always pushing forward, wanting to mature and grow, you know. And then sometimes whenever that sun was almost right over me, that shadow would be really short. But you know something I noticed? Didn't matter if my shadow was long or short, I was still the same height. The reality of the situation was found in the substance of who I was. Okay? The shadow was a reflection, it was an outline of who I was, but it all depended on the perspective that the light was shining on it and all these different things. Here's the thing, guys. A lot of times people can kind of see a shadow of what Jesus is like and they can get misled by the shadow. The shadow isn't what can save you. Only the substance of Jesus can save you, okay? And so don't be caught off guard by the shadow. Don't be misled by the shadow, you know? And in fact, God's Word tells us not to even fear like the shadow of death. Because it can't hurt you either, you know? And once you know Jesus, I want you to know death has no hold over you anymore. That's how Audrey can take confidence and go wherever God sends her. That's how every one of us can do that. Guys, I want you to know that you're immortal in Christ. You know, you may die in this world. It's only that you're going to immediately, spiritually, be in the presence of God. You're going to be more alive than ever before. I always loved what Billy Graham said about that, and he was quoting someone else who had said it before. I don't remember who it was before him, but he said, you know, one of these days you're going to see a headline that says Billy Graham's dead, but don't you believe it, for I'll be more alive then than ever before. And so I want you to understand that we saw that headline that Billy Graham died, right? In his 90s. He lived a pretty long life this side of heaven. But guys, he's not really dead. He's just living on, and he's living high. And he's on top of things. And I want you to know, in Christ, that's what we have to look forward to. And so here's the deal. Sometimes that shadow can distract us. So let's take a look at our passage that we're going to read today. I'd like it if we could all stand up for this passage of Scripture. Our focus is really going to be especially on verses 16 through 23. But I'm going to back up to 13 to begin our reading so that we can get our context. And you... say, and me. And me. Let's make it personal. And me. All right. And you, being dead in your trespasses, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Praise the Lord. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So, or therefore, the so is the same as the therefore. So let no one judge you in food and in drink, or regarding the festival or new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you have died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Let us pray. Dear God, we can see in the Scripture we've got two main enemies. The devil and the flesh. And Lord, sometimes we blame things that our flesh wants to do on the devil, because a lot of times he'll prick our flesh. But help us to realize one of the enemies that we have are those desires of the flesh. And Lord, there's a shadow of the reality of who you are, and sometimes people get distracted to follow the shadow to try to kill the desires of the flesh, and it'll never work. That shadow can't help us. But what can help us is the substance of Christ. So help us die to the things of the flesh to live for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's break this down just a little bit. If y'all want to have a seat. So I have a few short notes this morning, just kind of follow along. I've added a couple to what you're going to see on the screen, but you can follow along with what you find in your bulletin. And so we're just going to start out as we look at the text here. Verse 16 tells us, don't let anyone judge you by legalism. Do I get an amen by that? What is legalism? Legalism is whenever we try to adhere to the law and save ourselves by the adherence of the law. I forgot to bring out my law today. I had it in my office, and I was just so busy. You know that there's like 613 laws that are listed through the different Old Testament books that we would be required to try to keep? And the Bible says if we break even one, it's as though we broke the whole thing. And I've got them listed out on printer paper so that they unfold, and it's really quite the interesting scene whenever you get to see what it looks like. Now, it doesn't mean that the law has no purpose. The law very much does have a purpose. The purpose of the law is to show us our need for salvation. But here's what winds up happening. That law was there as a shadow of what was going to come, and our need to go toward the substance of Christ. And a lot of people wind up getting all stuck on the law itself and legalism of thinking somehow they can save themselves by following it. Okay? And so now we've got a gentleman who's writing this by aid of the Holy Spirit. Who was it who wrote the book of Colossians? Can anybody tell me? Paul. Okay? What did Paul, who was he, and what organization did he belong to before he became a Christian? He was a Pharisee of the Jewish nation, right? Okay, now a Pharisee was like, that was upper level law keeper here. These were the guys who did it, and they thought they did it so well they could show everybody else how to do it. Okay, so there's 613 laws in the Scripture that you would have to keep. The Pharisees, they got even better. They made it into over 1,200, okay? So they just kept adding to it, and they just kept saying, hey, look at this, guys. We know how to do it so well. We can do it even better than the Scripture. That's who's speaking in this letter here today. And what he realized, and he said in other books, is all that I ever did before, all that I ever was before, what I count as rubbish. I count as garbage in comparison to the glory that he had received in Christ. So here's the thing. You know, the law spelled out what we were to drink and eat, the festivals that we were to keep, to adhere, and to actually be considered the people of God. Can you name off any of those festivals? Passover was an absolute law that you were to keep Passover, and you were to keep it in a certain place at a certain time in a certain way. And if you didn't, you were to be put out of the people of God. Okay? So a lot of times people think it's Jesus plus something to be saved. Jesus plus the law. Jesus plus keeping all of these festivals. Jesus plus keeping the food laws. Well, Jesus gave Peter a vision. And it was all these different animals being lowered down from heaven. And he said, Peter, rise up, kill and eat. And we know that these were these would have been animals that went against the food laws because Peter said, oh, no, never, Lord, no, never would I eat anything that was unclean. And what did Jesus say to him in that vision? Let no man call unclean what I have made clean, or common, or what I have made clean. And so he was very clear that in this new covenant in Christ, he was setting us free from having to live by those just absolute legal requirements. And we're free to walk a higher walk with him now. And so many people get dragged away from the substance of Christ and they lose their blessing in walking with Christ by being drawn away by legalism. And so in this letter that Paul wrote, he's saying, let no one judge you in food or in drink. So how do you keep from letting somebody judge you? You can't make them not judge you, can you? But what he's talking about is, don't let that keep you from your blessing. So a lot of people say, well, how do we know that the moral law is still to be adhered to, like concerning marriage and things like that, if we eat pork now? Because the part about eating pork was fulfilled. It was all a symbolism of being separate from the Gentiles. The moral law still stands because Jesus said so. Okay? And so we can understand clearly now, and now you got an answer for the people that ask you, why don't you follow this law, but you do follow that law? And you can say, because that's the moral law, but this other was a ceremonial law that's been fulfilled. And so don't let anyone else like pass judgment on you that affects your life concerning legalism. You tell them, I'm not bound anymore. And if you have any doubts on that, turn in your Bibles or just look on the board to Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. I think I've got a slide there, don't I? Nope. It didn't get on there. Okay. We all got Bibles though, right? Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Do you not know, I'll start at verse 1, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For a woman who has a husband is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. Verse 3, so then, if while her husband lives she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who is raised, who was raised from the dead, that we may bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Can you say a praise the Lord to that? Praise God that because we are born again, we are born to walk in the new covenant with Jesus. And it is a covenant of love and of freedom. Not that we just live any way we want. I can tell you, once the Holy Spirit lives in you, He raises the bar. He raises the standard. I remember before I got saved, there were a lot of things I didn't even feel ashamed about that I was doing. And I, you know, even if you'd have shown me a law, I probably wouldn't have been. But now, I look at that and I go, wow, I can't believe that I used to talk like that or act like that or be like that or think like that. Now that Christ lives in my heart, He's called me to a higher walk. He doesn't just care about my actions. He actually cares about the thought inside my head. Do I get an amen to that? And the way my heart feels toward others. In fact, He said, if you're angry at somebody, it's like murder in your heart. If you won't forgive, you can't be forgiven. He talks about the condition of the heart. See, the law can't control your heart, but Christ can. So we die to that law so that we can be alive in Christ. And you know what? When we're alive in Christ, that's what draws other people to Him as well, because they see the joy. Christ brings joy. So don't let anyone cheat you or judge you by legalism. And I want you to know that all of that old covenant was pointing to Christ. In fact, we see that in Colossians 2:17, which are a shadow of things to come. You see, that whole Old Testament was a shadow of things to come. It's still good for us to read it now, and it's still good to direct our steps, and some of it was reinstated in the New Testament. But what we understand is all of that Old Testament ceremonial law, it was there as a shadow. All those animals that were being killed for sin, they never could totally remove people's sins. Y'all know that. It was a shadow of the one sacrifice who would come, the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. You see, the shadow can't really save us, but the substance can. And so live in the substance of Jesus Christ today. That's where it's at. Don't get cheated by asceticism either. What's asceticism? It's kind of like trying to beat up the body in an unholy way, thinking that it makes you more holy. Okay? Now, I want you to know this doesn't include spiritual fasting. Spiritual fasting can be a way that we can find a closeness with God and a putting away of our flesh as God leads you in that. But the thing that you don't want to do is do anything like that so that you can become holier than thou, so that you can be better than the next person, so that you can somehow or another feel better about yourself and feel like that you are closer to God because it's like a false humility. And that's exactly what he's talking about. Let no one cheat you out of your reward. So what's your reward? Your reward is eternal life, first of all. You know, people can actually miss out on eternal life just trying to earn their salvation rather than accepting Christ. Okay? So there's a second reward that you can be cheated out of as well. And I think it's peace in your walk with Christ. I think that you can actually be a Christian and you can be losing a lot of your peace because you're listening to what other people are telling you you should be doing instead of seeking God yourself and asking Him through His Word to show you and then walking with Him. I'll tell you one way that a lot of people miss out and they get cheated out of their reward is just simply by not gathering with the rest of the body and coming to church. You know? Do I get an amen to that? It's a blessing when we come together, we learn together, we gather together, we have that fellowship, you know? And there's some out there that are saying, no, you know, all that's good, but really what you need to do is you need to worship angels. You know, there's still angel worship going on today, guys. Do you know if an angel were to accept your worship, they would be in direct violation with God because God is the only one who should receive our worship. You look into Scripture. See, this is where the Bible helps us understand a lot of stuff. There were times whenever people tried to worship an angel or tried to worship a person, and even the angel would say, oh no, don't you worship me. You're to worship God and Him alone. Right? One of the Ten Commandments, the original law being outlined, have no other gods before me, right? And so what we understand is that's moral law, it still stands, and whenever anybody's trying to get you to worship anything about an angel, you need to know right there, that is a false religion, that is a false teaching, I need to stay away from that, because that's a primary doctrine. And intruding into those things which he's not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Don't get cheated by all this stuff about, if you eat this kind of food, you'll be more holy. And if you don't eat that kind of food, God's going to be mad at you. And if you eat this kind of food, God's going to be mad at you and all this stuff. And we just hear so much about food these days, right? And about things about the flesh these days. I want you to know, God wants your heart first. If you give your heart to Him, He'll guide you with the rest as you're in His Word. He really will. So don't get cheated by asceticism. You don't want to be cheated as well. You remember last week in chapter 2, verse 8, cheated by man's wisdom even, you know. This is verse 18, which is talking about being cheated. Turn backwards there in the same chapter to verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. I think he's talking about the same people there. What do y'all think? They cheat us through all their man's reasoning. You know? Well, you know, Anyone would know this. It's really simple. Anytime anybody starts out trying to convince you to go away from the Scriptures and they say it's really simple, you probably need to tell them, chances are you're trying to trick me. You know? Because I'll be honest with you, the Scriptures are you know, they're clear and they're very simple. And if anybody's trying to take you away from that by saying, see, it's a really simple formula over here, I'll explain to you how to think. You need to say, if you can't clearly show me just in the Scripture, you got to go through all this reasoning. I don't really want to hear it. What I want to hear is the raw reading of the Word of God. And help me to understand it so that then I can follow it. And that's the number one way to follow God. You know, being cheated by man's wisdom. I see this happening a lot whenever it comes down to Genesis. The books, in especially the first chapters, first 11 chapters, the foundation books. And here's the deal, guys. God said that he created all these things in six literal days. And man's wisdom and man's traditions keeps trying to say, well, he didn't really mean days. Well, let me ask you something. Whenever it says he created such and such on day one, evening and morning, the first day, what do y'all think he meant? That don't sound like poetic language. That's not figurative. He is making it very clear that he's talking about a 24-hour period of time. And anybody that wants to try to take man's wisdom and try to skew that, I can tell you what they're doing is they're trying to cheat you. Don't let them cheat you. Because what they're doing is they're trying to rob from the glory of God and say, see, God needed a million years to do what he said he did in a day. My God used a day. Because he said so in his word, and I think he meant exactly what he said. Now, I've had people tell me I shouldn't argue over that because it's not a primary doctrine. I disagree. I think it's the very essence of us trusting the word of God that's at stake. And so we just need to know our God is able. If he wasn't able to create man on day six without a million of years or 2 million years of evolution beforehand, then he's too weak to save me from my sins. My God created me just like he said, and he saved me from my sins by Jesus Christ who went to the cross. The same one who spoke things into creation is the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us and died on the cross and died for our sins. So don't get cheated by all these false reasonings that people throw out there, including asceticism, a beating up of the body to try to become more holy. Here's the thing, guys. We got to beat down the flesh in a spiritual way through spiritual disciplines, but you still got to live in it. So God also wants you to have a healthy attitude toward the body in taking care of it as good as possible without sacrificing your relationship with him. Okay? He loves you. He loves the body that he created and put your spirit in and your soul. And he loves the whole package. What he don't want us to be following is the desires of the flesh. Okay? How many of you guys, whenever you sit down to read your Bible in the morning, you start having all these other desires to do these other things? Does that ever happen to you? You get distracted by all this other stuff, you know? You know? Your stomach starts growling. Your telephone starts notifying you. There's Facebook alerts. You know? I mean, we could go on and on and on. You know, you might even think, man, I wish I'd got some more sleep. I think I'm going to go back to bed. You know, I don't know what all kind of things come to your mind, but I know what happens is the desires and distractions of the flesh get in there and try to keep us from getting a spiritual blessing. So that's what God's wanting us to do by spiritual discipline is pray through it. If it takes some periods of fasting, and fasting doesn't necessarily have to be a total abstinence from all food. It may be an abstinence from a comfort food or something that brings you comfort in your life that's physical. God leads you to that. You need to do it, because I'm going to tell you, he isn't doing it to take something away from you. He's doing it to give you something, and he wants to get something else out of the way that's getting in the way. So sometimes it may be fasting from TV. I always leave a little silence after that because I always hear this aghast. You know, believe it or not, people can live without TV. Completely. You can live without it completely. I would suggest you might want to try it someday. You know, if you haven't already done it. If you already have, don't let me offend you. Just say amen. Let's move on. But guys, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of pull through the entertainment, the popular entertainment, to pull us away from God. And I turned mine off for 30 days as a challenge to fast from it, and I never went back to it. I tried, but I couldn't, because as soon as I turned it back on, I thought, you know, and I'm being honest, I thought, have I really been watching that all along? Because I had gotten so desensitized, I didn't even realize it anymore. And now I know, if you got cable, see, I only ever had the five channels or whatever. Now if you got cable, there's actually some good programming, and it's, you know, very solid Bible teaching and everything. Go for it. But you know what I'm talking about, it's just all this popular entertainment stuff. Guys, it is a tool that Satan is using to pull people away and say, and take away your time. He can steal your time to where you don't have time to read the Bible. Do I get an amen? Could be music. Could be looking at the internet. Could be Facebooking. Do I get an amen? It can steal a lot of time. It's a time stealer, all right? So like, it's good to control the flesh, but don't get into the asceticism. I'm getting holier because I'm beating myself up real bad. Man, I can go all this time without sleep. Man, I'm holy. Now, if God wakes you up, He wants you to pray, do it. Okay? Be thankful. But don't just beat yourself up because you think it makes you more holy. It don't. And that's what he winds up saying in that passage as well. Third thing, so we got two don'ts. Don't let anybody judge you, and don't let anybody cheat you. And now, what I want you to do is do seek things from above. That's the next verse there that we didn't read, Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, have you been raised with Christ, church? Have you died to the old life? And were you born again? Do you have a new life in Christ? If you do, then you seek those things which are above, which Christ, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. I want you to know, guys, there's a part of you that's already there. The Bible says so. For you are with Christ. There is something. You don't have to wait till you die to start enjoying a relationship with Him. The moment you come to Christ, you can start enjoying a relationship with Him, and you have heavenly resources at hand. So do seek the things above, and also do stay connected to your head. Is Jesus the head of you? Is He the head of your life? You see, back in verse 19, a lot of what was taking these people away, they were missing out on the reward, they were teaching people falsely, was because they were not holding fast to their head. You notice head is personalized there. Not talking about the physical thing, although that would be bad too. What happens if you get chopped off from your head? Not a good thing, okay? If you lose connection with the brain, stuff don't work right. Well, guys, as a Christian, if we lose connection with our head, stuff's not going to work right. And so if we really want to be seated with Him above, we got to stay connected with Him now. And here's the deal. The head is the one that calls the shots. It's the essence of Jesus being your Lord. How can you know that you're following Christ if you don't know what He's saying? You've got to be in His Word, and that's the number one way you're going to stay connected to your head. It's not enough to just hear one sermon a week. It's not enough to even hear five sermons a week. You really need to be bringing it into yourself each and every day as part of your lifeblood, part of your direction from God Himself, from Christ your head. It's like your spinal cord. Stay connected to your head. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, pray for our church congregation here. And Lord, I know many of these people very personally, and I know that we have a lot in our church, a lot of our folks that show the evidence of salvation. I really believe they're truly in the faith. And now, Lord, from that point on, I pray that we can live in the fruitfulness of Christ. Not just what Christ does for us, but also what You do through us, and what we do by the power You give us, and all that comes is we stay connected to our head. And so, Lord, please inspire us to have a daily time of connecting with You in Your Word, in prayer, at times in fasting, at times in just getting alone for a while and listening close for You to speak to us through Your Word. And Lord, never to make that just about asceticism. It's not about beating up the body. It's about not listening to the flesh, but listening to the Spirit. Living in a daily relationship and walk with you. Now, Lord, there may be some in our congregation here today. They're sitting here and they're realizing, man, I don't think I ever really got connected to the head. I feel like I'm confused and don't really know which way to go. And maybe I haven't really surrendered my heart to Jesus. If that's the case, then that can be cured today. And it's as simple as just repenting of our sins. And if they truly believe that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the dead on the third day and is at the right hand of the Father right now, they can cry out to Him and say, Lord Jesus, be my King, King of my life. Let me follow You. Forgive me of my sins. Help me not to live that way anymore by the power of the Holy Spirit. Send Your Spirit to live in me. And I know, Lord, that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's just really that simple. A lot of people say there's no way it could be that simple. It is that simple to start a relationship with You. But I know the only way that can happen is if You're calling them and if they respond to Your call. So, Lord, please bless any who are responding to Your call today to do it and do it publicly. Not be afraid to tell others in the church at some point. None of us can be an undercover Christian. And so, Lord, please help us today, no matter where we are right now. We may just have an issue in our life we're struggling with. We don't know how to overcome it. Let us just give it to You today in prayer. Some of us may need to come up to the steps here, kneel down and pray. Some of us may need to pray with another person. Let us grab the hand of whoever who would care and pray with us. Where any two agree on anything, You'll do it. Lord, please just lead us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.